Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live on the air and here to address your question or discuss your real-life issue by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to discuss, we'd like to talk about it with you. Again, that toll-free number, the U.S. and Canada, toll-free, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and call. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. Now, here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. We've had some fun this week looking at giving in a rubber meets the road kind of way. And we just want to cap that off today. This is the fifth day of a five-day sequence out of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And today's key word about giving is generously. And immediately people think, oh, yeah, I remember that verse. Verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And we jump on that and we say, there you have it. If I give enough money, God's gonna bless my socks off. And unfortunately, folks, that's not what this is about. That word generously actually comes, the root idea behind it is to give with blessing or out of blessing. The literal word is good word. That's what it means. Uh-huh. Those who give out of a good word or from a good word will receive a good word. And all he's talking about is the relationship we have. Again, this is all based on relationship. The relationship we have with Jesus that overflows into the relationships we have with everyone else.
Yeah.
And when we see someone in need and we understand the blessings that we have received in Jesus, how can we not reach out to help them in some material way? It might be money, it could be food or clothes or a place to stay for the night. There's a thousand ways that we can reach out to people and give generously with that good word, with that blessing. And if you pay attention, you know, don't take that one verse all by itself. You look at all the other things he talks about here, that God is the one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, and also supplies and increases your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. This is not I'm giving to get. What God is doing is giving to us so that we can give to others.
Yeah.
It changes the whole thing. It's,
whole
again,
dynamic, yeah.
Always his initiative, always our response. And so this final word, generously, to give from blessing, is really an excellent capstone on the idea of how do we give. Whether you give a tithe or not, whether you pay money to us to support this ministry, or whether you give to your local United Way, make sure that you're giving because you've already received from God himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us, everybody. You got open lines at 1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you on this edition of the broadcast. Let's go talk to Navar, listening in Bloomfield, New Jersey on WMCA. Navar, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
All right, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A quick question, you know, on WMCA, they're supporting the normal.
Okay.
And on YouTube, there's a ministry called Good Fight Ministry, and they spoke about the movie Noah. And basically, they were giving quotes about what the director said. They made a Christian, just to be clear, they made a Christian survey, and they said that Christians would not want to see the movie, 80% of Christians, if the movie wasn't completely biblical. But the ministry quoted the director of the movie, and he said that it is the most unbiblical, biblical movie ever. And he said that he doesn't give a bleep about the statistics. So I want to know, what is your opinion about this Noah movie?
Well, I can't really speak to it. I haven't seen it yet. But I'm really interested in seeing it. I have my doubts about any biblical movie made by anyone,
absolutely,
even by Christians.
Yeah.
The problem is, and the story of Noah really points this out, the the Noah story is only in three or four chapters, and it's descriptive of what's going on, but there's no dialogue. There's no how did this happen. There's none of that stuff. So everything that you would do to create a movie, to create a story about this worldwide flood, would have to be made up. And they've done that. Now, I haven't seen it, so I can't judge how well they did it. I've read some people who say this is a wonderful opportunity to engage in dialogue with your friends about something that the skeptics have forever said, well, it just never happened. But this might give you a chance to have a conversation with somebody. But I would suggest that if you're worried about the film, don't go see it. If you want to know for yourself, then go see it and watch it honestly. Don't watch it by saying, well, you know, this is going to be terrible. Watch it and see what they do with it. And if it's the dog's breakfast, then get up and leave. If there's something that's worthwhile in it that you can take home, then stay there and watch it. And again, maybe it gives you something to talk about with someone who may not otherwise be interested in the things of God.
Yes. My intention was to see the movie and, you know, just to see, you know, because like Paul said, you know, Christ is being preached, whether it's for contention he has. My only problem is just with the director, just his comments. You know, I just would suggest that you would look up the director's comments. But,
yeah.
Thank you for your opinion.
Well, the fact is, I don't really care what the director says. If God wants something good to come of this, he will see that it comes to the good. If God was really worried about this film, it probably wouldn't have come to the screen. But our God can turn anything to good, to his glory and to our good. And so, you know, I've read other stories of people in other situations that swore up and down that they didn't give a bleep about what God thought, and they end up either getting saved themselves or somebody gets saved through their work, regardless of what they were trying to do. God is sovereign, and if he wants somebody to see this film and turn on their brain to the fact that there is a God and that he will judge evil, but he always has provided a way out, it might be just the perfect thing for them. But, yeah, I honestly think, I mean, if I was going to guess what this film will be without seeing it, it will be a special effects extravaganza.
Oh, absolutely.
You might be able to drive a truck through the holes in the story, but boy, is it going to be visually beautiful. I mean, watching the world get destroyed, where the, you know, you think about what the Bible says, where the waters that were above the earth and the waters that were under the earth were kind of let go, and the earth tore itself apart. I can imagine all kinds of visual candy that goes with that. But, you know, until we see it, we won't know. And after I see it, If I don't like it, I'll say so. If I do like it, I'll say so. But I don't want my opinion to hurt you or push you in any direction, you or anyone else listening. This is one of those situations where you've got to let the Spirit say, you know, you need to see this. Or, you know, maybe you should just sit this one out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Navar, thank you for your question. It's a very provocative question,
yeah.
And we appreciate the opportunity to address it on Basic Gospel. Hope you'll keep listening and call again, and I hope the movie doesn't turn out to be The Dog's Breakfast.
Yes.
1-800.
Sorry.
6779. Well, graphic illustrations, I guess. 1-800-677-9377. Yonkers, New York. Let's talk to Don, listening on WMCA. Hi, Don. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi. How you doing, Richard, and how you doing, Bob? First of all, I'd like to thank you both, Bob, Christopher, for your CDs and profiles and character, Lessons from Unlikely Heroes. I would encourage anyone listening to get that from you. It's been a blessing on my life. And Richard Pfeiffer's Revelation,
it's no mystery. Yeah.
That was a great one as well. And for anyone who thinks this might be a paid endorsement, forget it. It's not.
Oh,
I'm just a regular guy calling in.
Yeah, well, thanks, Don.
As far as giving is concerned, you know, when you go into church and, you know, so much focus has been on tithes and offerings, and I know you spoke about it a lot on your show, you know, what we should be giving of ourselves is standing up, especially men, as men of valor and men of truth like you two men are doing, and giving of our time and standing up for the truth, because there are very few of us out engaging the public and letting people know that we are there and we are standing strong. We are the genuine article man that God has put on the face of the earth. We have instilled in us the Holy Spirit, and God himself in Jesus' name has said we are overcomers, and the world as an operating system is so corrupt, and it's so prevalent, and it's so moving and strong that it looks like it's winning, and it's not winning. It's no. heading for destruction, and we who should be men of valor are not standing strong. We look like we're losing, and it's a tragic commentary.
Yeah, it is. One of the things you the way you said it brought this thought to mind. One of the things that our generation, call it generations, there's two or three generations now that are involved in this. One of the things that has characterized us and has, I think, contributed to this lack of the ability to stand up and be counted for something is we think that all it takes is money. That if we throw money at a problem, the problem will go away. And the problem doesn't go away, only the money does. And if people would take the time to be in relationship with each other, godly, grace-based, faith-based, spiritually-led relationship with each other, we might see some of these problems that we've got in our society solved a little bit. You can't solve it all. I mean, it's evil. The world is going to be destroyed. We know that. But there are individuals in our society who could be reached for Jesus if we were just friendly. And we Christians have been some of the worst when it comes to friendliness and accepting and reaching out to people. I mean, really reaching out. I mean, how in the world would you expect to present the message of Jesus Christ to homeless people or to illegal aliens or to homosexuals or to people who have been in drugs or people who are having affairs? You name the problem. How can you ever take the love of Jesus to that if your opening words are, you're going to hell? And that is what we normally start with. That doesn't mean that we're accepting the bad behaviors, but Jesus is the answer to them, not my judgmentalism. You can't be brave when you don't have Jesus. And what we think is bravery quite often is just fear masking itself with arrogance. And true bravery in Jesus Christ is a thing where you really don't have to worry about what you're going to say in a particular situation. Right. You don't have to rehearse it. All you have to do is keep your eyes on Jesus, and he will take you where he needs you to be. He will give you the answers you need to give, and then you can give him the glory, and everybody wins.
Yeah.
Anything else is not that way.
Amen, Richard. You know, could I just mention one other thing? In that we must be flexible, and what you're saying is that the Holy Spirit guides you. Now, if you're talking to a prison inmate, which I do have a prison ministry, you can come on a little bit stronger to that person than you can to a person who is, maybe a little softer in demeanor, and you can approach them in a different way. And that's what you must do. You must be sort of like a studier of people so that you know how to speak to them. And some you can speak to eloquently, some that you have to speak to if you can, and you're flexible enough, you can street talk with them, but still the same message comes across, and we must stand up strong.
Yeah,
thank you for your courtesy.
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 9, I believe it is. You know, I'm all things to all people. Well, what does that mean?
Right.
Do you not stand for anything? Well, he stood for things very strongly. He just knew how to talk to people and let the Spirit lead him do that. So, thanks a lot, Don.
Amen, brothers. When you come to New York, I'll be looking for you.
Okay.
Oh, looking forward to that. Thanks so much, Don. Good to hear from you. Well, we have a wonderful opportunity for our listeners and our supporters to double the impact of their gifts. I just wanted to read this letter very quickly from Stephen in Anderson, Redding, California. Just got this just a very short while ago. It says, "Hello, brothers in Christ. I love this ministry. God tells us in the Word to be strengthened by grace and that Jesus Christ, He Himself, is grace. I can't thank you enough for being there through the years, addressing the problems of living in this world and the evil one constantly assaulting us. I think of the ministry as a city of refuge, like the Old Testament people could run to in time of need, a shelter of protection, in this case to renew our minds. I give to this program every month because I want to see it continue to reach others. I would like to give $100 and see that doubled. Where can we get such a return that addresses the real-life issues? I said once before, it's a lot better than the stock market, much better returns, a true investment. I thank everybody from your staff and for your labor of love to get the truth of the gospel out." That's from Stephen in Anderson, Redding, California, and
wow.
I couldn't agree more.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for writing that. That's why we do what we do. It really is.
Yeah.
We ask for funds because it costs money to do this, but we're not asking for funds for us. We're not funding the Learjet or, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you're not giving to Basic Gospel.
No,
you're giving through Basic Gospel
for the proclamation of the gospel. And that's what this matching gift campaign we've been doing the last 2 weeks is all about. You may have wanted to give and you haven't yet. Here's a chance to give and have your gift multiplied, to be doubled, having a stronger impact than you could have just on your own. And again, proof that we don't care how much you give. It's between you and God. I received a notification, an email today of somebody gave $5. And so people might think, well, it's just $5. Man, that is $5.
That's right.
And that person gave what they could. They gave it from their heart. They gave it based on what the Spirit was leading them to do. And it was doubled to $10.
Yes.
And every gift you give up to this $25,000 goal we have will be doubled up to $50,000 total. And we're at about 18,000 right now.
Yeah.
And so it's coming in. It's very steady. It's lots of people giving what they can. And you know, I think you should be part of it.
Absolutely.
It would be great. Not for me. It's for you and between you and your relationship with God and your impact with the gospel in somebody else's life.
Yes, indeed. And you can do that. You can become a part of this double blessing by visiting basicgospel.net. Click the matching gift challenge right there on the homepage, or you can call up to 5 o'clock Central Time today, 1-800-727-2828. That's 800-727-2828 to make your gift and double the impact of your gift for this matching gift challenge. Okay, let's move on to Westchester, New York, and talk to Pete, listening on WMCA. Pete, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. I'm trying to think. Talking about, like, being gracious to people.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Matthew 10, verse 17, of preaching the gospel and being gracious about it and nice? Matthew 10, 17?
Well, let me look at that.
What they put up on the board was Romans 10, 17. So let me look at Matthew.
I think I read it today.
Nope, it's not Matthew 10:17. But the principle is there. And you know, when the way Jesus put it in Matthew 28 was, as you are going, make disciples. Well, a disciple is a student. So if you're going to make someone a student of Jesus Christ as you are going, you must be in relationship with them. You can't just come and punch them in the face and say, you need to behave. You need to know them, to understand a little bit about where they've come from, what their background is. They need to know you. They need to know that you're not some judgmental, holier-than-thou, you know, so-called Christian. They need to know that you care. And when you do that, that is very disarming. People will begin to share back with you, and you can share with them, and you can work Jesus into the conversation because it just works into the conversation. You don't have to, you know.
Very offensive to people.
Pardon?
Who are not Christian.
Oh, Jesus is.
Can be very offensive.
Yes.
Know, they don't want to hear it.
But let the offense be Jesus, not me.
Right.
And
that's through the gospel.
Yeah.
It's not really our actions. We can never be Christ.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? We can never be. We didn't go to the cross. We didn't die. The atonement. You know, it's through the gospel that people are saved.
That's what
a lot of people lose. These, you know, we can't go around walking around like, you know, we're Jesus Christ.
Yes. You know? Well,
as a Christian, that's what I believe.
Yeah.
You know,
Paul dealt
it's
with this.
Through the gospel that people are saved.
Yeah, Paul dealt with this in Romans 10 when he was talking about, you know, the Jews and the Gentiles and how are we ever going to resolve this mess. And when he says, you know, faith comes from hearing the message and the message is heard through the word about Christ, he follows up and says, well, did they not hear? And he's talking about the Jews, and of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. And he says, well, why didn't Israel understand? What's the point? And he answers by quoting Moses, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And so what God does quite often, even with the offense of the gospel, the offense of Jesus, is that someone will listen, and someone else who knows them, who would be horribly offended that they were Christians, can't help but notice that something has changed. Maybe not, you know, it's not just a behavioral thing. We know each other at a soulish level quite often, and we know when someone's attitudes have changed, not just their behavior, but what makes them tick. And that kind of makes you jealous. It makes you envious. Well, what's going on? Why are you happier today and you weren't last week? And all of a sudden you can talk about Jesus. And now the offense goes, what, Jesus? You mean you became a Christian? And the person will say, well, yes, I did. And that is so disarming, because even though Jesus is an offense, power of God, the grace of God inside someone does that.
Nobody could save us.
Absolutely.
That's the absolute sovereign grace of God. That's what people forget. You know, it's just not an altar call going up. And,
no,
you know,
not at all.
I mean, that's my belief, you know, as a Christian. It's the sovereign grace of God. It's hearing the gospel.
Yes.
We're saved.
Yep.
I mean,
it's all about Jesus.
It's all about Jesus, guys. All right,
Pete, thanks so much. Great to hear from you. Hope you keep listening and call again. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let's talk to Fred listening on the Internet. Hi, Fred. You're on the broadcast. Welcome.
Yes, I am, brother.
Hi.
I was going to say, are we doing a disservice to the gospel when all these ministers and these politicians say God bless America?
Well, yes and no.
When the word says, for God so loved the world, you know, we're just being like, selfish, I guess.
Oh yeah, we Americans are horribly selfish. You know, we think that we're on a deathbed if we haven't had a meal for a day, and
right.
There are so many millions of people who are hungry all the time. So yeah, we're kind of arrogant, we're proud, we're obnoxious sometimes, and we always want to put God on our side, and that's the tragedy,
right.
You know. But on the other side. People say God bless America, and they mean it about as much as they mean go Yankees or go Dodgers. I mean, it is what it is. And so I think we should, you know, just we should be careful what we say. Let's be meaningful and intentional in what we say, not just to curry favor or to make people think we're something we're not. But in order that Jesus Christ may be proclaimed and be visible in our speech, in our actions, in our attitudes, in our relationships, in everything. And that's the only way we're going to break through this horrible arrogance that we suffer from. Thanks for your call, Fred.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Fred. Hope you keep listening and call again. We want to say thanks to Navar, to Don, to Pete, and to Fred, all for being a part of this particular edition of Basic Gospel. And we will be back on Monday to do it again, and hope you have a question, and will you pose it to us at that particular time. Just 3 and a fraction more days remaining to join the $25,000 matching gift challenge of our board of directors. Well, it ends on the 31st, but between today and the 31st, you can double the impact of your gift in any amount to Basic Gospel. So this is the perfect time to offer your most generous gift and truly make it count to connect with people to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make your gift today by calling 1-800-727-2828. That's 800-727-2828. The operator will be available up to 5 o'clock Central Time today. Or you can link online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. You know, we also accept donations through PayPal. And that, of course, is the best way for those of you outside the U.S. to support the ministry. And our sincerest thanks for giving to the work of God through Basic Gospel. Also, over the weekend, be sure to check out our website for information on Stand 2014, our Bible conference coming up June 19th through the 21st. All the information is available at stand2014.com. Again, stand2014.com. Now for Richard Piper, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.